The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, critical of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening. We're in Genesis chapter 4. We'll pick up at the exegesis of verses 11 and 12. All right, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're either in one of the two conditions. We're either in fellowship under the control and rulership of God the Holy Spirit, or we're under the control and rulership of the sin nature, as we would say, out of fellowship. In this condition, our sin nature, with its human viewpoint tendencies, is that which rules us and guides us in life, rather than the true guide and ruler of life that it should be for us, that being God the Holy Spirit. When we engage in personal sin in life, we get out of fellowship. How we are able to recapture the state of spirituality otherwise is through the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9. And that way, God the Holy Spirit indwells us, also fills us, and we are predisposed in that condition then to serve God and to first and foremost, as appropriate for this evening, gap the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature, not allowing it to interfere and distort God's word otherwise, as it is hostile to and simply does not understand these things, being the natural man. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity, as is our custom, to start as we start with a normal word of prayer for you to rebound if necessary. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to serve you in this capacity this evening. We ask that you bless us and advance us in our thinking as we seek to make the maturity adjustment in fellowship throughout our Christian lives, that God the Holy Spirit will indeed lighten us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in chapter 4, as we know, Cain has murdered his brother Abel, becoming the first murderer in human history, and Abel becoming the first martyr. The murder came about because of the fact that God accepted Abel's offering but rejected Cain's. This got Cain under emotionalism. He is an unbeliever in this respect, and he gets super hacked off, and he can't get a hold of God in retaliation. Vengeance in this regard, so he takes it out on his positive brother Abel instead. God then confronts Cain, and he, in the previous verses 9 and 10, basically hold Cain accountable for what he has done, and in essence proclaims his guilt. Now in verses 11 and 12 we have the curse of Cain. God brings down a curse upon Cain for his heinous act and crime. Looking here in the Hebrew, verse 11, "And now you, Cain, are cursed from the ground." You have the wow conjunction, plus the adverb atah and now, A-T-T-A-H. You are cursed. You are being cursed. You have the cow passive participle, masculine singular absolute, of our verb arar, A-R-A-R. Followed with the pronoun, second masculine singular, the ta. That's not right. Oh, yes, it is right. A ta. This is a difference in the Hebrew. Instead of aleph, ayin, you have the aleph here. Hence a little apostrophe instead of the dash in my transliteration, atah, but sounds the same. Are you from the ground? Preposition men, M-I-N, follows the definite article, noun, common, feminine, singular, absolute, or word for ground, dirt, earth, adama, A-D-A-M-A-H. Which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Which is a relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. has opened is the verb cow, perfect, third feminine singer, patsah, P-A-T-S-A-H, which has opened or parted, followed the sign of direct object, plus the noun, common, masculine, singer, construct with the third feminine singer suffix, the word for mouth, its mouth, literally pet, P-E-H. Verse 12. I'm still trying to figure these things out. I didn't go to school for this. Verse 12. When you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. When you cultivate is the particle key, K-I-Y, plus the verb cow, imperfect second masculine singer, abad, A-B-A-D, to work, hence cultivate, follow the sound, sign of direct object, plus the definite article. Again, our noun for ground, adama, repeated. It shall no longer yield. You have the negative lo, L-O, plus the hifil, which is causative. Imperfect third feminine singular of our verb, yasaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H. That will not cause to increase, literally, do again, hence yield. Follow with the verb, cal infinitive construct. Nathan, to give, Nathan, that's where you get the name Nathan, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, plus the noun, common masculine singular, construct with the third feminine singular, quok, or quok, C-O-K-O-A-C-H, hence to give its strength or substance to you is your preposition with the second feminine singular suffix, lamed. You shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. You shall be a vagrant. Literally, you have the verb, cal, participle, masculine, singular, absolute, of our verb, nua, nua, N-U-A. Wandering, moving, plus the wow conjunction, plus the verb, cal, participle, second participle here, masculine, singular, absolute, nude. N-U-D, and homeless or vagrant. We'll look at the words a little closer in the analysis. So, wondering about homeless and homeless. You will become, literally. You have a cal imperfect verb, second masculine singular of our word haya, H-A-Y-A-H. On the earth is a preposition, bait. B-E-T, simply like that in Hebrew. Follow with our noun for, definite article with our noun for earth, common feminine singular absolute, Eretz. E-R-E-T-S. Rereading the two verses, verse 11, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. I see I left out some of that one. Your brother's blood to receive. Lacock, Cal Infinity, construct. Blood is your noun. Dom, D-A-M. Sorry about that. Of your brother, the noun with the second masculine singular suffix, ach, A-C-H. From your hand, preposition men, then our noun for hand with the second masculine singular suffix, yod, Y-A-D. So if you know Hebrew, you can keep up with me even if I do mess up. All right, try this again. Rereading the two verses. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. All right, the analysis verses 11 and 12. 1. It may surprise a reader that Yahweh does not kill Cain or have him executed otherwise. We just reviewed the doctrines of anger and murder. And under the Mosaic law, obviously murder is punishable by death. It prescribes capital punishment, execution of the individual through the civil system, often deputizing others that may be close to the situation to carry out the execution. But here, Cain, who murders his first brother, God doesn't kill him. 2, we can only note that capital punishment was not commanded until post-flood. The actual law itself to take vengeance on this particular crime is not handed down by God to man, actually, until after the flood, as it's recorded. Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds a man's blood, this is God speaking to Noah, which is to be handed down, these words, commands to be handed down to the nations, the peoples, after him. By man his blood shall be shed, verse 6. For in the image of God he made man. So at this point in time, in pre-diluvian history, there is no specific law that we know of handed down by God to men to bring about recompense for this particular crime. God is the one that's in charge. He's the one that gives the law that man is supposed to follow in this respect. So we can only note that and recognize God has his own reasons for how he administers his plan otherwise. So 3, otherwise the judgment for his flagrant crime is in some ways a fate worse than death. If I was to speculate, you allowed me that liberty. The reason why God wouldn't kill Cain is because Cain begins the bloodline of the seed of the serpent in regards to humanity. And God provides that opportunity to express itself and to expose what it will do under negative volition in history in that respect. So that would be one, I would think, biblical and logical reason why God doesn't kill Cain. But apart from that, there is no recorded law otherwise. And otherwise, on top of it, the curse that comes upon Cain, the life that he is now destined to live by God, and it will be enforced by God, is in some ways worse than death itself. Death is not always the worst thing to occur. In fact, death can be a deliverance in regards to life itself aspects of life that are unbearable and things of this nature. So for Cain here is cursed from the ground. That means he would never again be permitted to have success at farming. So the curse begins in regards to his livelihood and his profession. Cain is a farmer, just like his father Adam. And as we saw, he utilized his profession to try to bypass God's commands in regards to the offering, the prescribed offering of the sacrificial animal, and brought the effects of his produce instead. And this all looks at his attempts at religiosity of engaging in salvation by work system. And God rejects it. So Cain basically is banned, not through any aspect of that he can't try, but in regards to any success he will have with respect to his profession at farming. So 5, the cursing here is tantamount to being banned by God from ever again achieving a livelihood from crop planting and production. No longer will the ground be blessed, especially when he gets in touch with it and tries and attempts to use it to provide his living grace. 6, he may try, but God would see to it that the results would be dismal. It sure wouldn't be bushels of food, any success that he did have in that respect. 7, whatever plot of ground Cain might attempt to use, God would overrule the natural phenomenon for a healthy crop production. You can surmise that another person that might attempt to use the same plot of ground would have better success than Cain. When Cain was involved, God jammed his attempts. He jammed his efforts. And he overruled anything in regards that was necessary for those crops, those seeds that he planted, attempting to bring about crop production, to ever truly be good again in that respect. God is in control of weather. Obviously, that's one way he could do it. But he's also in control of the very process of creation, even within the plant life, animal life, man life world. So God obviously is the one that blesses and curses. God's either with you or he's not in regards to those things that we attempt in life. And for Cain, that means that he's not with him at all anymore in regards to trying to make a life, a living, try to sustain himself with respect to farming, gardening, and the associations otherwise in that respect. So that's something always to keep in mind. The world itself, the negative world, the cosmic world, the world that Cain, and as we will see, his offspring represent, they don't look to God for their blessings in life. They look at empowering themselves, and they simply dismiss God as having really anything to do with their successes or failures. We will see in the bloodline in Cain, progeny, ancestors, who indeed reflect this very approach in rejecting a God in this vein. 8, whereas the ground here, which is Ha-Adamah in the Hebrew, itself was cursed because of Adam's disobedience, as we saw some similarities in regards to the judgment already between Adam and Cain. Now, the ground itself was cursed because of Adam's disobedience, recorded in Genesis 3:17. Here the ground is used in reciprocation as to Cain. is the ground that curses Cain. 3:17, cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. And now you, Cain, are cursed from the ground. So we see, if you will, a circle made, reciprocation, in regards to the two acts of disobedience. And here, as it is applied for the ground coming back on Cain's head in judgment. So 9, Cain ended a life made from the ground. Now the ground will no longer support his life. While one does not look at the ground, obviously, in any animated form, the reality is our very bodies, our very physical existence and substance comes from the ground. God utilized the properties of the ground, its elements, its atoms, etc., called dust, the sophisticated dust, to create the bodies of the human being. So the very substance from which life has been created, the curse is that substance will no longer support his life. So point 9 again, Cain ended a life made from the ground. Genesis 2:7. Now the ground will no longer support his life. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. This is the irony behind verse 11b, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. 11, the soil here, the ground, is poetically illustrated as being fed the life of Abel, murdered by the hands of Cain, and now in retaliation and judgment, refusing to give life back. That's the poetic picture being drawn in regards to the ground cursing Cain. Cain is the cause of the loss of life. The blood spills on the ground, which parallels the very substance of this creation. And the ground in retribution to Cain says, well, you don't like the life I gave you to begin with, then I will withhold life from you. The life of humanity from which God created. So that's kind of a cool poetic picture that is being brought out in regards to language, has opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from his hand. The mouth like it's eating, see, like you would eat. You eat the products, the produce from the ground to sustain your life. The blood, the ground opens its mouth to drink the blood of his slain brother, Abel, that came from his hand. It was caused by Cain. So 12, Abel's blood here, which is dam in the Hebrew, is a euphemism for his murdered life. A euphemism. Blood can be used for life, murdered life, lineage, things of this nature. And here the blood looks to the life that has been taken from him in criminal fashion. 13, by killing Abel, Cain showed he had absolutely no regard for God's creation of life. A creation, if you will, at the highest level in regards to the restoration of our planet. As beautiful and as magnificent as flora and fauna are otherwise, the greatest, the epitome, if you will, of God's creation is humanity. And Cain shows no regard, truly, for what God has created, as generally often is, in regards to men and their attitude towards one another and others, because they do not look at people within the doctrinal light of which the Bible presents them in regards to creation and God being our creator. There's you an avenue in regards to evolution. and how it can change the perception and approach of men to other people. What is life to them? It's not some fantastic thing that occurred by a creator, by the one that's in charge of all. It's just life. Evolution does nothing but put us on the very level of animals, in principle. See, as we know, animals don't have souls, but we were made in the image of God. We have a soul. So to take the life of one who is otherwise innocent in a criminal fashion shows one who has absolutely no regard for God's creation of life, as it's designed to be epitomized with respect to the creation of humanity. So 14, he, Cain, pictures one that is void of grace orientation. That is, he obviously is negative to God's plan. It pictures that. He does not look at life from the Creator, and that God created that for us. We really had nothing to do to be in here. Think about it. Our parents might have thought they had something to do with it, but in all reality, if God's not behind that, you know. But man, in and of himself, to be here, to be a part of God's economy and his plan for this planet in its restorative existence, is based on grace. Every aspect of it. See. So to have an attitude of disregarding what God has given us, life, and towards another, shows a lack of grace orientation. And obviously, if you have no grace orientation in life, then you are negative. One who lacks grace orientation at the maximum, obviously, in regards to God and His plan, is one who remains in unbelief. They don't need salvation, see, in their thinking, not in the way that God has presented it. So Cain, in his murder, pictures one that's void of grace orientation. And that means, literally, he is negative to God's plan. He is the beginning of negative volition under the seed of the serpent in this respect, in regards to the prophecy brought about earlier in Genesis. So 15, for his complete lack in regard for life, he will never again be permitted to enjoy success as a tiller of the soil that possesses the sophisticated, quote, dust, end quote, used to make the human body. It's like anybody else, you bestow upon them a gift under grace, and they dish you over it. They show contempt over it. They don't like it. No appreciation. The hell with you then. I won't get you another gift. See. Well, obviously, God does this righteously in the curse. But essentially, that's the way it is. God has provided this grace gift of life to man, life to have companionship, to live together, to support one another on the planet, etc. But how quick man turns to violence and destruction and getting rid of life in his history. So he has complete lack in regard for life. He will never again, for that, he will never again be permitted to enjoy success as a tiller of the soil that possesses the sophisticated dust used to make the human body. 16, the penalty is, when you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. 17, just as life empowers man for production, it gives your body the fuel and power to mobilize and be alive, see. through the neshama and the ability to do things, sow the soil to life in man's creation to begin with, and obviously with food. And now Cain is cursed from the very element of which he showed no regard. Spit in God's face over the grace he provides. Don't be surprised if when you really could use it or whatever, it's not available. You know, sometimes people take things for granted and they don't miss it until it's not there. It's very unfortunate when people find themselves in that kind of rut in life rather than in all thankfulness and contemplation in regard to God, all that He provides, especially as it comes about in regards to one's spiritual well-being and being blessed by God otherwise in that respect. So Cain is cursed on the very element of which he shows no regard or has showed no regard. 18, no matter the physical effort Cain may use to make farming work, it will be to no avail. You could fast forward into the future and give him all the modern technology of plows and tractors and everything we have today and the super seeds. And I guarantee you, he could go out there and he could work his fingers to the bone and he would not have any good product to show for it. It'll be to no avail. Some people have a real problem with God jamming people for their disobedience, their negative volition, and fallacies in life. Well, then they just got a problem with God. That's all there is to it. You want to reject God's grace? Sooner or later, that grace is over, and you will face His wrath, you'll face His judgment. See. So 19, any plans Cain may have had previously to establish a homestead and raise a family with a stable lifestyle has now been shattered. To establish, if you will, in one's thinking, a stable, satisfying, homey atmosphere of life, that is not going to be part of Cain's niche any longer. And in that sense, obviously, it takes his life and it turns it upside down. He will finish out his life a very unsatisfied, confused creature. Constantly attempting to make things better on his own through the energy of the flesh, etc. And it's those very things that he will pass down to his progeny of unbelieving ancestors in this seed of the serpent venue. So 20, instead he will be reduced to living a life as a wandering vagrant on the earth. He becomes essentially a fugitive of life. See. So 21, now the two participles with the connective wow, translated vagrant and a wanderer, as nua, wow, nude, is what's called a hindiatus, which is a single idea expressed simply with two words. So 22, now looking at the participles, the verbs, both participles had the nuance of a swaying motion, of something like reeds or trees. Judges 9:9. But the olive tree said to them, "Shall I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees?" It's our turn. 1 Kings 14:15. For the Lord will strike Israel. Chapter 14, verse 15. As a reed is shaken in the water. Or turn. So, one turn for one for the other. I didn't put down which one's which. But both of them had the nuance of the swaying motion. Something like reeds or trees. 23, the first participle translated vagrant by the New American Standard means more to shake, reel, stagger, or move. Trying to sort the participles out here. 24, it may refer to some minor action, like the movement of Hannah's lips as she prayed, or the wandering of a blind man. This is our verb nua. You have 1 Samuel 1:13. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving. Nuah in the Hebrew. And then the wondering of a blind man in regards to the movement. Lamentations 4:14. They wandered blind in the streets. Our term. Now the second participle translated wanderer, nud, has the added emphasis of homelessness. The added emphasis of homelessness, such as dispersed Israel, in 2 Kings 21:8. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land. Look at Israel being dispersed from the land. So homeless, without real estate. It has the nuance of being a fugitive, Jeremiah 49:30. Concerning Kedar and the kingdoms of Hazor, run away, flee, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of the Hazar, declares the Lord. Like a fugitive. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has formed a plan against you and devised a scheme against you. And then, just the aspect of being displaced, Jeremiah 50:3-8. For a nation has come up against her out of the north, this being prophetic Babylon, the prophecy. And there will be no inhabitant in it. Both man and beast have wandered off. They have gone away, been displaced. and in verse 8, wander away from the midst of Babylon and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. So those all reflect the verb nude. So actually, a wandering vagrant would be closer to the words in order based on my word study on it. So 26, the idea is that Cain will be forced to live a nomadic lifestyle rather than indigenous to one locale. He will be forced to constantly be on the move to sustain his life. He'll be limited basically to hunting and picking what he can wild off the lands and things of this nature. Dependent upon others. 27, he will lose all sense of belonging and settled identification, roaming about aimlessly, rather than having a stable reputation and identification, being a part of a family, if you will, in that sense, nationally or otherwise. He's going to lose that sense of belonging, and he will be looked upon just like a homeless person essentially is, more or less, in society, though maybe not quite so depraved. 28, obviously, he would be looked upon with suspicion as he contrasted the norm. He'll stand out. And he's definitely going to stand out because God is going to make sure that he stands out. 1 by the norm of one that you would embrace and want to take up association with if you want to otherwise maintain your own reputation of good standing among society. 29, he will be the premier example of a tragic character. Indeed, we could call this a real tragedy in regards to what crime he has committed, but even more so tragic is his very attitude towards it and his attitude towards God otherwise. 30, this became his fate for however long he lived on the earth. And lives were not that short back then. It wasn't some sentence of, 15, 20, 30 years, life in prison, maybe 50, somebody lives that long. Back pre-diluvian period, to live 900 years, 800 years, nothing. So this is his fate, a cast out in regards to society in general. 31, the universal principle that comes about in regards to this curse. At least what jumped out at me. What you sow, you reap. What goes around, comes around. You want to have no regard in regards to God and His grace and what He creates and provides for us in regards to life. Here the life of His brother Abel, made from the ground. Then these things will come back on your head and they will haunt you in your life. See, that's a principle that even unbelievers generally will recognize. What goes around comes around. Galatians 6:7. Hence, how you treat others, things of this nature, is important. Do not be deceived. God does not mock, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. All right. In verses 13 and 14, we see the typical whiny criminal in response to the sentence. That's the way I see it. Cain objects to his punishment. God doesn't kill him, but he still objects to his punishment. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Oh, you poor thing." All right, if I get too facetious here, just have to bear with me on this. But you read these verses and you just kind of go, shake your head. And Cain said to the Lord, you had the wow consecutive verb cal and perfect third masculine singular, our verb amar, A-M-A-R, plus the proper noun, Cain, Cain, to the Lord, preposition L, followed with our proper noun, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. And he said, Cain, to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. He had the adjective masculine singular absolute, gadol, G-A-D-O-L, great, plus a noun, common, both, singular, construct, takes both genders, with the first common singular suffix, aon, aon, A-O-N, my punishment, my guilt, great is my punishment, guilt, be like a predicate adjective. Plus a comparative and preposition, comparative preposition men, M-I-N, plus the verb cal infinitive construct nasha, N-A-S-H-A, too much to bear, to carry, literally. Verse 14, behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground. You had the interjectory particle hen, H-E-N, behold, look, see, exclamatory, if you will. You have driven is the PL perfect second masculine singular of the verb garash, G-A-R-A-S-H. PL, you have utterly expelled, cast out, driven out, the same used in regard to Adam being driven out of the garden in 3:24. You had to sign a direct object with the first common singular suffix, eth, me, E-T-H. The suffix is attached to the sign of the direct object. This day is a definite article, noun, common, masculine, singular, absolute, yom, Y-O-M. From the face of the ground, preposition men, M-I-N, plus the preposition all, A-L, plus the noun, common, both plural, construct, panah, face, faces, if you will, P-A-N-E-H. Of the ground, definite article, noun, common, feminine singular, absolute, adama. From upon the face of the ground, literally, A-D-A-M-A-H. All right, that part's true. And from your face I will be hidden. Now, where's he coming up with this? Not what God said. And that's what you got to look for in regards to Cain's response. And from your face I will be hidden. Wow conjunction plus the preposition men, M-I-N. Face, again, with the second masculine singular suffix here, paneh. P-N-E-H, countenance, here with reference to God, Yahweh, from your face or presence. I will be hidden is your nifal, imperfect first common singular of the verb sathar, S-A-T-H-A-R. I'll be hidden, concealed. And, it continues, I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. All right, that part's all right. Wow, consecutive, verb cal, perfect, first common masculine singular, ha-yah, I will become, H-A-Y-A-H. Again, our words for wandering vagrant here, the two participles, cal participle, masculine singular, absolute of nua, N-U-A, plus wow conjunction in the verb cal participle, masculine singular, absolute, nuad, N-U-A-D, a wandering vagrant, upon or on the earth, preposition bait, with the definite article noun, common feminine singular, absolute, erets, E-R-E-T-S. And then the final one, another addition that he makes, and it will come about that whoever finds me will kill me. The wow consecutive with the cal imperfect third masculine singular haya repeated, H-A-Y-A-H. It will come about, happen. Whoever is the noun common masculine singular construct kol, K-O-L. Whoever, all, anyone. Obviously an exaggeration. Finds me is the cal participle masculine singular construct with the first common singular suffix, the verb matsa, M-A-T-S-A. Finding me, all or anyone finding me literally, will kill me. You had a cal imperfect third masculine singular with the first common singular suffix, harag, H-A-R-A-G, to slaughter. Without compunction. The same word used in regards to him killing his brother Abel. All right, we'll pick this up Thursday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth through your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.